I feel the divide between you and I, like the distance between the dark and light. But just as the dawn is both day and night, maybe I can make you mine.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Operation Dichotomy. I'm Paul, I'm your host, and we are the bridge between perception and reality. Our goal here is to get people to listen and understand each other, grow in empathy and unity. But if you've been following along, one of the things that you've begun to see is that we want to amplify the voices of those that can't speak for themselves, sometimes because there's just so much noise going on in the world around us. If that sounds like something that you're interested in, go ahead and connect with us at operationdichotomy.com, or you can find us at Operation Dichotomy on Instagram. And last but not least, if you have found any value in what we do here, please go ahead and share with those who are around you, and hopefully we can create this amazing community together. Now today, if again, you have been following along with us, you know that we've been talking about this idea of listening. 2 weeks ago, JD and I got on the show and we just talked about listening, like why it's important, how we can get better at it, how to create a better society by getting better at listening and develop the skill. And last week we had our special guest, life coach Courtney Cornwall, giving us some more, I guess, practical advice is what we should call it, right? On how to become a better listener and how that applies to the way that we live life. And today, well, let me first welcome JD to the show, because sometimes I forget, because I feel like we're so close and we're kind of one sitting here. But anyways, JD, man, how are you doing?
I'm good, Paul. Glad to be with Operation Dichotomy again. What's up, everyone?
And if you all listening haven't figured this out, JD is going to be here for a while. You'll hear his voice a lot, so get used to it. He may even pop up on an Instagram story now and then. If you don't know what he looks like, well, it'll be a surprise. But listen to that smooth, sultry voice of this of this man and get used to it. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No,
no. Okay.
All of it's true. Everything Paul said is true.
Well, JD, welcome again. But today our special guest is singer, songwriter, music maker. Her name is Sarah Kang. She's out of New York. She's very good at what she does. And we're going to tell you later where you can connect with her. But she's going to bring this unique perspective to this idea of listening as we kind of go into a conversation today. But without further ado, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We are honored that you would take some time out of your day here to be with us. Sarah, as I introduced you, you're definitely a music maker, and whatever else falls into that grand category. Can you tell us just a little bit about who you are and how you got into writing songs and music? And let's start there. Who are you? How'd you get into music?
Wow, big question. Well, my name is Sarah. I grew up always singing, like playing music. My whole family loved doing it together. My mom is a piano teacher and a vocalist. So I think it just was a natural part of who I was growing up. But strangely enough, I guess this dichotomy existed in my family. But even though my mom is a musician, she kind of didn't want me to pursue it in a professional, like career type of way. I mean, I come from an immigrant Korean family, so they expected us to do great things, whatever that means. So I kind of took a long roundabout way of making music. So I love music and I love doing it as a hobby. I sang like in a cappella groups in college, was on my church worship team, but I decided I'm going to go to grad school for education because teaching music is a more viable career path. So I did that and I was teaching full time at a school. And I think I eventually just came to a point where I felt really dissatisfied with what I was doing my day to day. And I think more and more the desire to make my own music just got to be too much that I couldn't ignore it. So I quit my job. I got married, which really helped out in the financial arena. Yeah, and that was 3 years ago, and I've been doing music full time, still teaching part time. Yeah, I hope that answered the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. One of the things that I love about your music, Sarah, is the way that you're able to just capture stories and emotions and like even little glimpses. Like your songwriting is so clever is not the right word. It's like clever and profound put together. Clefound. I don't even know how to describe that. But like you hear it. I mean, the musicality is beautiful, but you hear the words and it's like, people, at least from my experience, it's like it connects to memories. I can see it, I can visualize it, I can experience it, and that creates like this whole vibe, which I think is so powerful, and it's probably, you know, why people resonate with your music and songs the way they do. And so could you share a bit about storytelling, you know, and how it relates to songwriting and how listening relates to that, both in your process and in for you as a songwriter? Like, how does it all play into what you're able to do?
Sure. Yeah, I think I was always really drawn to stories, like as a child too. I loved reading books, I love watching movies, and that those things are still true about me. And I think when I think about like how diverse we all are and how different we all are from each other, I think the one thing that ties us is that we're all kind of living out our own story. And it's really cool to think about how each of our stories can also intersect and we become part of each other's stories. And I think that's kind of what inspires me in my songwriting. Like, what are experiences that I personally have gone through and has had a profound impact on me, but it feels like an experience that other people could relate to. And when they hear it, they feel comforted or they feel known or heard or understood. Because I think those are the moments that I've felt like music was really powerful, when I listen to other artists or songs that really inspire me or make me like have an emotional experience. And so that's kind of what I hopefully am doing and striving to do with my music. I love how you said it created a memory for you, because I'm a really nostalgic person. So I do write a lot about childhood and time passing and things like that. But my hope is that when someone listens to my music, like it really transports them to a memory or a thought or an experience that, that is almost a universal thing.
That makes me think a lot about a lot of things. but what's interesting is when you mentioned JD talking about how it created a memory for him, I feel like it does that. It creates memories for us, but then it also, according to what you said, recalls our own memories. Like when you hear about, for instance, I hear a song about the distance between people, in case that's a song that's coming out sometime. And then that, it's not creating a new memory necessarily, but it reminds me of a time when there was this gap between myself and somebody else. And I think that's the power of the storytelling through music, is that you're telling your own story, but it relates to somebody else. But I feel like in order for you to produce this kind of emotion and story and connection, you have to first be able to listen to yourself. And I think you mentioned that one of the things that you learn through storytelling and writing music is this ability to listen to yourself, to be introspective, and to kind of pull out all of these things that are sort of underlying beneath the surface. Were you always that way? Is my first question. And the mm-hmm. second question is, even if you were always that way, I feel like that's a skill that you've kind of had to nurture over the years in your experience as a musician, to get so good at it and then translate that into somebody else's interpretation of the same story. So I guess the second question more is like, how do you get better at it? Can you tell us about the whole process of listening to yourself and why that's important?
To answer your first question, I think I was always an introspective person, even as a kid. Like, I think I would be sitting off somewhere by myself, mm-hmm. Kind of daydreaming or thinking about things. And I do consider myself to be an introvert and an internal processor. I remember having a conversation with a good friend in college, and he asked me, are you ever sitting and just not thinking about anything? Like, your mind is just blank. And I said, I have no idea what that feels like. And he said, oh, I do it all the time when I'm in the car or like on the train. And I just didn't, that doesn't compute with me. So I guess I've always been kind of that way. But I think I've always had a filter of like, well, these thoughts are worth having versus these thoughts are not. Or these thoughts are okay to express to others, but these thoughts are not. And I think songwriting and making music has been an avenue in which I felt like it's okay to express certain things that I'm feeling, or certain experiences that are hard to talk about. I don't know if that answered the question. What was the other question?
How did you become so good at it? Like looking at your own thoughts and listening to yourself.
That is a good question.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the reps. Like, you writing songs, you have to go through the process over and over. And then, I don't know. I'm musically not inclined. So I've, this is for you guys.
I mean, I guess because sometimes I have this deadline of I need to write a new song, I have no other choice than to sit down and really dig deep and think about like, okay, what am I feeling these days? What am I thinking about? Like, what feels remotely profound? And then I kind of have to squeeze it out sometimes.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, the cool thing about that though, is it sounds like you're saying that sometimes it takes intentionality, right? Or a deadline or a goal to be like, I'm going to make this a part of my life. I'm actually going to sit down and think about this, because we don't instinctively naturally do that. It's not like, you know, throughout the course of the day, someone is like, oh, let me think of what I'm feeling right now. A lot of times we just experience things and we aren't even aware of the internal triggers or thoughts that come to mm-hmm. mind. And so it sounds like you're like, whether you have to do it for a project or whether you do it because it's a daily ritual, that there's some benefit to spending time like listening to yourself. And it's probably become so natural for you as a songwriter that, you know, it's hard to talk about because you're like, how do I actually do that? You know, where Paul and I are like, well, you must do that well if you write these songs. I want to ask you about one of your songs. Is that cool?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So my first experience of your music, one of the major ones I would say, is the song Pleasure. And mm-hmm. I remember that coming out. I remember listening to it. And it was so different from anything that I had ever really heard. And it was meaningful to me because I have two daughters, one who's 3 and one who's turning 1 this week, actually.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. And I was like, you know, this song, like I would want my daughters to hear this song, to know this song, the message behind this song. And I think as we talk about listening, right, like Paul just asked about the listening that we do to ourselves, but then there's also the listening that we do to others, right? And voices that societal expectations or cultural expectations or media or whatever puts on us. And in the song Pleasure, you specifically deal with kind of this messaging, I guess, that is maybe put on by others. And there's kind mm-hmm. of this bold statement. And so could you share a bit about the genesis of the song and what it meant and why it was important to you? I remember it coming out and seeing people resonate with it because it was kind of a different voice. But yeah, could you share a bit about it?
Sure. I mean, earlier when I said there are some things that are easier to express and some things that aren't, I was actually thinking about this song. And it was a hard one to write because, I don't know, it just brought back a lot of memories that aren't necessarily happy ones, but still formative ones. So I don't remember how I got onto the topic, but it was through a conversation with my older sister. And I remembered a time, like the earliest memory I have of someone commenting on how I look. And I think I was around 10 and it was a friend's dad and we were having lunch and I was getting seconds and he told me, oh, maybe you shouldn't eat anymore, implying that I was already too chubby or, you know, whatever he was thinking at the time. And I remember that being a very defining moment for me. Like it Because as a kid, you don't really think about how you look, other than like in playful ways, like, oh, I'm going to dress up as a dog today, or I'm going to pretend to be a dinosaur. But that kind of self-awareness, I think, is not there until people around you, especially adults, like teach you how to think about it. And in some way, that was a negative teaching moment for me. And I think from that point on, I was really hyper aware of how I looked and how I came across to other people. And am I fat? Which is like sadly a question that especially a lot of girls ask themselves. And so I wanted to write a song that kind of invited people to listen in on that experience and to understand like how much it can impact a small child or someone growing up. And I think it's probably the boldest song that I have, because not only am I inviting the listener to like listen in, I actually challenge them. I think in the chorus I say like, she wasn't made for your pleasure. And I really went back and forth on the title, like, what should I name it? Because naming it just pleasure kind of seems to imply a different kind of song. But at the end of the day, I decided to do that because, I guess I wanted to trick some people into listening to it, thinking it was about one thing, but it's actually not.
The words of the chorus, you know, just for our listeners who haven't heard it, you know, she wasn't made for your pleasure. Don't you blame it on human nature. She wasn't made for your pleasure. Oh, who will love her? And I just think it's really profound, you know, that you're able to capture, you know, you took your own experience, which you talk about in the verses, but you're able to capture that and kind of even challenge the notion that, right, that as we want to live in a culture of listening, there are certain things that are worth listening to and certain things that aren't worth listening to. And you said that about like the internal dialogue, but it's also true about what comes from the outside. And I don't know, I need to have to filter that. Yeah, it's really cool. And I think, you know, like I said, as a guy with two daughters, it's a really powerful statement that I would want them to know and live into. So thank you for writing it. Oh,
thank you.
I think hearing the background of that song and what it's about, I just had a daughter as well. She's just a couple months younger than Annette, right? She's one. Bradley's about, anyways, it's just a couple months apart. So I think it's interesting because when I hear that song, I feel like, yeah, I definitely want her to hear it. But then the other part of me is like, I want every boy born between now and like 10 years ago to hear it, because in 20 years from now, there's a chance that he may know her. And I don't want to have to train her to destroy anyone, which I might do anyways. But I think
you and I both,
you double time for you, man. I feel like the cool thing that you said about the whole experience that you went through, but then also writing the song, is that you give so much perspective into a situation like that, like from a young girl's perspective. And now into a young woman, you're speaking. Okay, let me back up. So a guy like myself, any guy for that matter, we really don't understand the impact of these words that may or may not have been said in love for his niece, I guess, at the time. Mm-hmm. We don't know the impact that's going to have. And so for us, from the audience perspective, to be able to listen to the perspective of the songwriter who lived that, I feel like we're able to learn so much about that world. And hopefully that changes the way that we interact with young girls in the future. Like, are we going to say these things to our nieces? Are we going to say these things to our daughters? Like, what is the impact of the words that we speak? And by listening to the experience that was written through your song, I feel like our society would just be a better place. Like at the end of the day, as we've been talking about, listening and active listening and finding these perspectives that are just completely foreign to us and putting ourselves in those shoes is going to be what contributes to the betterment of society. I don't know if that's a purpose that you had when you wrote these songs.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
You're doing great things, Sarah. I didn't really have a question with that one, except this new song. Am I allowed to talk about your new song that's coming up?
Go for it.
Okay, good. I think by the time that this song, this podcast is released, the song will actually maybe be out, depending, because we're in pandemic schedule, which means there is no schedule. Can you share with us and the audience a little bit about that song? Because I feel like it relates to this conversation so much. Like same question about pleasure, right? What was the background? What was the mentality, motive? What's it about? All of that. We want the nitty gritty details.
Well, this next song that I'm going to release, hopefully next week, but as you said, pandemic, we don't have a schedule. It's called Make You Mine. And it was actually inspired by a fight with my husband. We've only ever fought once. No.
Lies.
But yeah, that intensity of that feeling of how could I love someone so much, and yet how could we be so far from each other, at least in that moment, and feeling that dissonance and not knowing what to do about it. And at times feeling a little bit hopeless, like, how can we bridge the gap?
Nice.
But really, like, how can I step closer to you, and how can you step closer to me, but still feel like I'm being myself and not throwing away who I am? And so I kind of had this image in my head of like day and night, darkness and light, sun and moon, like opposite kind of, yeah, opposite ends of a spectrum. But then in that instance, when like the sun is setting or the sun is rising, like dusk or dawn, like in some way, the dark and the light exist at once. In that moment, there's a way for those two opposites to be together and to be cohesive. And kind of in the same way, it made me think, okay, two people on opposite ends, it's possible for them to coexist in a way that's like they're not throwing away the essential part of who they are, but they're finding a way to make it work. And I feel like a lot of marriages like that, but also a lot of friendships, especially like in our social political climate, so many like people find themselves across a divide from each other. And so the song kind of doesn't really give an answer necessarily, like a direct answer of these are the five steps you can take and then you will be whole or unified with any person in the world. But it's kind of this idea that it is possible, that it is like a worthy thing to strive for in our relationships. And I think that the line that the title comes from is maybe I can make you mine. And so that implies a certain element of intentionality too. Like I have to work for it. I have to make you mine. So that is the story behind it.
So good. That's all I was going to say. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Man.
Yeah. I think the thing that I love about that, you know, is, I mean, at Operation Dichotomy, we're really trying to ask the question, can two people who have very different viewpoints or who come from very different experiences or places, can we coexist and connect beyond, but not lose ourselves? Because that's the fear of people, right? That if I connect with someone else who's different, then all of a sudden I can't be me. And mm-hmm. I think the paradox of connection is that, no, two truths can exist at the same time and two people can exist at the same time. And it is actually illogical to think about it that way, because some people will say, you know, that the other person can only exist at the expense of the other. And I love that your song and kind of the way you've approached it speaks that deeper truth, which says that, no, it doesn't have to be so exclusive. You know, that there is a way for us to see each other, hear each other, to be with each other, and to make each other ours while still remaining ourselves. So mm-hmm. powerful. I mean, I haven't heard it yet, but I can't wait to hear it once it drops. Yes.
Yeah, it's also like stylistically probably the most R&B I've gotten so far. So I'm excited about that too.
All right, we'll get to this later, but where can they find, where can the audience find that song when it comes out? Again, we're not done. I just wanted to make sure that this gets said.
Sure. You can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Tidal, Google Play,
everywhere.
All the platforms.
Okay. Man, it's... Anyway, sorry. JD, did you have something, a question?
I guess like these days, especially in light of like COVID and just like you mentioned, our social political climate, all of that, like, you know, as like there's a, I can't remember who said it, but I do believe it's true. I think that like the artists of any generation of any age, you know, that goes like poets and painters and musicians and songwriters are kind of like the prophets of that time. Like, are they able to interpret, right? Certain ways of life, whether that's from own experience or broadly, and then give language to things which speak to the larger human condition, like you said. And so as you think about that and kind of all we're going through, like, what's your sense, you know, of the world? What's your sense of like, I know it's a big question. I'm trying to like narrow it so it doesn't feel so big, but what's on your mind these days, you know, as you think about the songs people might need to hear, right? Like for some people, they might need more hope or more comfort or more joy or playfulness, you know, or memory, like nostalgia, like you mentioned, is really might be important. So yeah, as we navigate the times we're in, what are some of the things that resonate with you as a songwriter that you think about?
Wow. Like the question narrowed down a little bit, so it's less big. Like, what do you think of the world? But it's still a hard question. That's an interesting question because I think, you know, in the Myers-Briggs, the difference between the S and the N, mm-hmm. and the S tends to be more like detail-oriented and kind of like small picture as opposed to N that's more big picture. So I think, I mean, I'm definitely in an S. And so I think when I think about, that's a lot of things. When I think about song ideas, I tend to start small, like from my personal experiences, like certain instances or conversations or thoughts that I've had. And then it goes big, like, okay, how can this be a story that can resonate with a lot of people? So I don't think I ever consider like the world or what is our country going through and then kind of narrow it down and turn it into a song. But I should try that sometime.
Well, I mean, I think that the interesting thing, you know, I mean, the Myers-Briggs is a good thing, but the truth is you have to do it either way, right? The N has to be able to take this huge idea and make it into something small that's relatable in the everyday and personal experience, or the S has to take personal experience and broaden it so that they can be connected. So I just love that. I love that, you know, at the core of it, as I've experienced your music, it's like stories, you know, about love and connection and identity that, yeah, I don't know, I resonate with, I think people do. So I told Paul, before you get really super big, we got to get her on the podcast and be friends. Like, we got to do that. Yeah.
Wow, so much faith in me.
Maybe the song that's coming out soon that you can get on Spotify and everywhere else.
That's right.
I think just to sort of, I don't know if this is the way I think, but I imagine your story is very specific. And then when you write a song, you take your own specific narrative and then you turn it into more of a general picture. And that's where that song comes out. But then I feel like the funny thing is, on the audience's perspective or the listener's perspective, somehow that broad story that you've created and written about is formulated in a way, formed, let's say formed, because formulated sounds too math-like, which is not really songwriting, right? It's formed in a way where it kind of reverse funnels into my own personal story. Like, you take your fight with your husband, the only one you ever had in your life, and then you exactly. write this song, and it's very, like, it's broad from a specific perspective, but then somehow I can take that same song and then relate it to me. I'm not sure what my question is about that whole process, but like, I feel like there's something there. Maybe Jade, you can help me with this, but we need to listen as a society. And there's all these ideas out there that someone else has spoken from their own perspective. And maybe the point that I'm trying to get across is that if we're able to just sit back, right, shut our mouths for a little bit and absorb what somebody else has put out there, even though it's so specific to their own story, that we will find that we are more connected, right? We will find that we can resonate with this quote unquote random musician from New York. Oh, she has fights with her. She had a fight with her husband too. Like, I have one of those every once in a while, like every day or hour. And I feel like we take that for granted sometimes, that because we think that every story is so specific, for some reason we can't relate to that person and they're so far off. And it's not the case at all. If we just stop and listen, we do resonate with it. We do connect to people, and we are a lot more, we are more complicated than we give ourselves credit for, but at the same time, we are more connected and we have more in common than we might realize as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, Sarah, you do that so well with your music. And again, I don't know if you do this intentionally or just practice over and over and over again, and the storytelling aspect comes out so good. Like, I don't know how else to do it. So,
thanks.
Again, no question here. I just rambled for a bit. Go ahead, JD. It looks like you want to say something.
Sarah, what are some of the things that that you're interested in these days, or you know, some of the things that you're drawn to, just generally, you know?
Generally, just like in life?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's hard. I think maybe a lot of people can relate to this, but since the pandemic started, mm-hmm. I think it's getting harder and harder to feel inspired or feel like, oh, this is new and fresh. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the daily, it's like, same thing over and over. Like, wake up, do the same thing, go to bed. So I am having a little bit of trouble with that. But I do say I usually turn to movies when I need inspiration, or like, okay, my life is kind of boring right now. Let me watch a movie about someone else's life.
Yeah. I love what you just shared, because, you know, I think that's the gift of good art, right? Your songs, good movies, whatever, like, it helps us to, it's not just the listening of stories that's important, especially in this time, but I actually think being nostalgic is going to give us hope, being able to remember when things were normal, what life was like, and, you know, hopefully, and we don't know how long this is going to last, but it won't last forever. And I think that I appreciate that. And I asked you that really kind of, it was out of left field, because I figured, like, for someone who's creating art that others enjoy, right? What's that process like for yourself? So I don't got anything else, Paul. I just feel like, I think the thing that you were talking about, I don't got anything else. You can edit that.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Wait, that's so cool what you were just saying, Paul, about like the small to big to small. I've never thought about it like that. And I don't think I can really take too much credit when it comes to like the second half of that process of someone listening to my song and being like, oh yeah, I feel that. I see that in my life. Like, I think that's just the power of music. Like, something about music makes it easier for something to be, like, an idea to be digested and, like, mulled over and applied to your own life. Like, I think that's just art. But it's true, like, it's important to think about how do we then do that same thing that comes so naturally to us in real life relationships and conversations with people. I think that's the challenge.
I'm going to slightly disagree and give you credit, because I've seen and heard bad music. I've seen and heard, let me preface that. I'm not really an artistic, creative like not as creative as most quote unquote creative people. And so when I see something that's like that really speaks, that must mean it really speaks because it gets into this denseness, which is me. And so I say that to say, I've seen the not so good stuff. I've seen, all right, let me just get focus on the positive here. The way that you tell your stories from your experience, the result is something that people can relate to. And I think that happens in the creation phase. And not everyone can create in a way where people can relate to that. So while I do understand what you're saying about crediting the arts and music in general, and you have a very good point there, but I also feel like a part of it is your expertise in the way that you craft, not just the music, but the words and the emotions. I'm also not a very emotional guy. And so...
He's got very little emotions. Very little.
Nobody asked you.
But he's feeling things. It's powerful.
It's... Yeah. And like, there is a receiving end of taking that story and connecting it to myself. But I feel like so much of that has to do with the way that it was created and the way that it's spoken out into the, you can't see my hand motions because podcast, but into the atmosphere of, of goodness or whatever you want to call it. So again, like, I believe you're great at what you do. I think this is why JD really wanted to connect with you and hear your perspective on the way that you tell stories and focus on each individual narrative, because that's what we want. We want people to be able to listen to the different perspectives that people have, because it helps us to form our own perspective and worldviews and really just burst out of our bubbles, you know?
I think part of that, I think there's two things that came to mind. Is one, I think that Sarah, like you're an artist who's done the work and is willing to start with your own life and your own experiences. I think that takes a lot of courage and vulnerability. I know those are like hot words in our culture, but you know, you're not just, like some artists are just going to be like, I'm going to write songs that sell. I'm going to write songs that are hits and bangers. I'm just going to go for that. And there's an authenticity to your perspective that's not only refreshing, but I think is really necessary. It helps to create this culture of listening and helps to create connection. And I think the second thing related to what Paul's talking about, I was thinking about like a good chef, right? Like for instance, if someone were to be like, dude, do you want to eat monkfish liver? My answer is no, I don't want to eat. No, I do not want to eat monkfish liver. But if a good chef actually knows how to take that and takes the right ingredients, the right cooking process and puts it in a way, it's delicious to me, right? And so there's something about an artist and how they take their experiences, positive and negative, like in the case of pleasure, and are able to package it in a way that makes it easy for someone to listen to and receive. And so for us as audience members, it's a gift, because that creation process and the way that someone approaches that is not what every single artist does, I think is what Paul is trying to get to, you know? And we, it's a really simple way of saying we just really appreciate you and the art you make.
Oh, thank you. Wow, I feel so encouraged and affirmed. We should do this every week.
Well, Sarah, I hope you feel listened to, because that's what we're trying to do. And I don't think, never mind. I was going to say something stupid, so I'll just skip that. Sarah, I really want our audience to be able to connect with you on whatever platform you're on. Where's a good place for people to find you?
Definitely Instagram. That's where I usually like post all of my new things and people can keep up with all the updates. So my hashtag, or not hashtag, my handle is Sarah Kang Music.
And that's with the H after Sarah, yep. Right? And Kang is K-A-N-G Music. We'll also have the link in our show notes in case spelling is not your forte. JD, I have to ask, because this has become our thing and you are a wise man. I speak about JD as if he's like an 80-year-old dude with a white beard. He's kind of close, but not really. But as we wrap things up, JD, what's something that the audience and the listeners, myself and Sarah, and even you could take away from this about listening and how, let me stop there. What's something that we could take away about listening from all of this?
Yeah, I think the thing that strikes me as I'm asked this question is that, you know, each of us have a story. Each of us has experiences. And you never know. Oftentimes, we think that we're the only one who's experienced that or lived it and gone through it. And when you listen to Sarah Kang's music, you're going to be able to resonate in a way that brings up memories and connects. And that really reminds us that we're all human. And so I think the importance of knowing your story, of sharing that story, and of listening to good storytellers and songwriters like Sarah, and taking those, and it kind of allows us to live in a life of deeper connection with others. And so know your story, share your story, know that you're not the only one out there who's lived it. And if you have the courage, like Sarah, to put it out there in a way that people can enjoy, it actually might save someone's life or brighten their day at the very minimum, or help them feel like they're not so alone. And that is truly a gift.
Mm. Sarah, would you mind adding some words of wisdom? Can you top that?
I don't know if I can.
Just a different perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think that last thing that JD said, of feeling like we're not so alone, what am I trying to say? If I had to choose like one goal that I had with my music, I think it would be that. For whoever is listening, to feel like, oh, you too. I'm not so alone in this. And I think taken outside of the context of music, like really, I think connecting with another person, like that is the core of it. And that is like why we listen to each other. Because no matter how different you are, I think you can find some thread that makes you feel like, oh, you too. Like, oh, I'm not so alone in this. Yeah.
So good. So good. I'm not going to add anything to that because I don't want to ruin it. For our listeners, I hope you got some value from JD, and especially from Sarah, this musician songwriter's perspective, and how we could take this idea of listening to ourselves and to the world and apply it to our communities around us. Sarah, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for sharing your insight with us. JD, again, we thank you for your time as well. I make fun of a lot of things, but you know, at the end of the day, appreciate you, man.
It's why I keep coming back, bro. I love being made fun of.
Perfect. You don't want to say that because it's... All right, anyways. Yeah, you guys, thanks for listening. Connect with Sarah King Music. Listen to her music and just close your eyes and delve into the story yourself. Depending on when this podcast is out, her song may or may not be out, but make sure you find it, follow her, connect with her, connect with us. Thanks. Until next time. I feel the divide between you and I, like the distance between